The serious nefesh for coming tonight. I wish everyone a gemar chasiv tova. Those who are listening, and all your tefillos should be answered for the benefit, for good of your family, for good of Klal Yisrael. Okay. So we're discussing the husband's rights in respect to his wife's money and nechosim. So let us start with a very interesting shaila that came to base in like this. What we've learned up to now is that a husband's got a right to a woman's wage that she creates, maisi or dime, with certain limitations with that, but generally he's got a right to the wages that she produces. So the shaila came like this. We have a couple. Reuven, let's call them Reuven and Leah, and they have fallen out. And they're in the process of getting a divorce. The husband and wife have separated and they're living separate lives. The wife makes a claim against the husband in this period of time that she needs to be supported. She is technically still married to Reuven, even though they separated, they've not yet got a divorce, so technically they're still married. So, if so, she's entitled for support. Entitled for support until the divorce procedure is actually valid. In the next few months. So she makes a claim for support in the basin. The husband comes back with it three times. Okay, she's entitled to support because we're still technically married. Fine. But I've got three reasons why I don't want to pay. Firstly, she's just got a pension. Pension is, what is pension? When you stop working, then you continue to get me paid as if you're still working. So therefore that money of pension, just as I'm entitled to her wages, I'm entitled to her pension. So therefore, okay, so the pension comes to me and now I'm giving it back to her as part of payment for her support. That's the first thing. Pension is mine. That should go for her support. Secondly, she just got pitsuim. She's going to get pitsuim. She hasn't physically got it yet, but she's in the process of getting pitsuim from her former employer, which is unemployment, which is basically the compensation package of an employer when the relationship is broken up. That is also to do with work. I'm entitled to that money of pitsuim, just I'm entitled to her wage. I'm entitled to the compensation package as well, and therefore it's mine, and therefore that should also go towards her support. Thirdly, when we were in the process of breaking up, she used my credit card illegally for things which I didn't agree she could use for, and she built up a bill of $5,000 on it. Therefore, she owes me money. So that's, we work it out after all this. She owes me, the pension is mine, the compensation package is mine, $5,000 she stole from me with a credit card. Therefore, we work it out. I don't owe anything. By the time we get divorced, probably she will owe me for that period of time if you work out all the cancellations. Now, let's go point by point. Is the husband correct when he says a pension which the wife has after finishing her work, years of work, that goes to the husband? Is it true that the pension is entitled to the husband? How do we look at a pension?
Money that she earned while she worked, but it was over and above that minimum standard, she shouldn't have to give it to him.
What exactly is a pension? That's the sign of pension. What is a pension?
It's part of the salary that was put away to give you at a later time.
Okay. So therefore, basically, you're saying every month, let's say she's entitled to a wage of 10,000 shekels. Okay? Out of that 10,000 shekels, she doesn't get 10,000 shekels in her pocket. What happens? Some of it is diverted towards a pension fund.
And the company matches part of it.
And the company...
just semantics.
That might be different when she's giving
it's just semantics. It's her money anyway.
Yeah. So therefore, what created the pension?
Job.
Her job. When did that job create it? When she works. 20 years ago. 25 years ago. Every month she's working. I'm producing, she's getting paid, it's not going straight to her, it's going to this pension fund. If so, the money is in exchange of
her work.
The pension fund's money is in exchange of
her work.
Her work!
Well, some of it is depreciation.
Did she start working before she got married?
Hmm?
Did she start working before she got married?
She started working before marriage, she was.
Some of that pension fund is not due to her. She wasn't married the whole time, she was paying money to pension.
Welcome back. So, the discussion is, in theory we're saying, husband's entitled to her wages. And therefore, pension which she's getting, what is that created through her work? Her work created pension. Because every month, her wage gets diverted to the pension fund. So the pension fund is built up of her wages, which is the change of work. The husband's entitled to all those wages during those years. So therefore, the pension fund is basically, in other words, leftover wages from the years that she works. Husband's entitled to wages, so he should be entitled to the pension fund. So therefore, when the husband claims, yes, we're in the process of getting divorced, and we're separated, yes, I'm a chuyu, so support her, but she's getting a pension. That pension is mine, and therefore that's my way of supporting her. That's what he's claiming. According to limitations, along up to the 40-hour limits, yes.
How much does she work? How much does she
yes,
work?
So we have to make that at least you're saying, the Ikaran, she's entitled to pension. How much of the pension? We have to make a sort of analysis of, let's say she worked 60 hours altogether, therefore he's entitled to 40 hours, so 4/6 of her wages she's entitled to. Therefore, we have to work how much of the pension, which is also wages, is he entitled to as part of his money, which he can say, now I'm paying that support in the intermediate time that we're getting a divorce. Yes, I support you, but this is my way of supporting you. This is about to amount. Yes, but you're saying, but Ikaron, pension is something which is shy to the concept of wages, which is shy to the husband's. Me. Yes?
Let me ask this, Shaila. I don't know if we answered it earlier. If someone, she earns a lot of money or more than is normal for 40 hours, then maybe the husband would not be entitled to that.
Yes, so we just discussed. Yes, so the, up to 40 is entitled.
No. She's working 40 hours. She's working exactly 40 hours. Yes. Instead of getting $10 an hour, she's getting $1,000 an hour.
No, he's entitled to all what that 40 hours produces.
Unless she's more full on what he's giving her.
Yes. So, there's another way of looking at pension altogether. What's another way of analysing what a pension is, really? Let me ask you a question like this. How long does she get this pension for?
It depends on the pension.
How long does she get the pension? A standard pension.
There's two kinds of pensions. There's pensions that you get till the money runs out, and then there's pensions that you're guaranteed for a certain amount of time.
Like securities until the person...
Okay.
Social Security, you keep getting paid.
Social Security is
Social
Security.
So, let's analyze the pension fund where it goes on to, not until the money runs out, but it goes on until a certain amount of time. Yes? What do you? What is that pension? Is that any... Now, it's not until the money runs out, it's until a certain period of time she gets paid every month the pension. Do we say exactly the same over there, that that's an exchange of work that she produced and its wages as well?
No.
Or do we reanalyze it and that pension's different?
That's different.
I think it's the same.
The money is coming from the money she got while she was working. It's the same.
agree with
that. No, she might make a lot more, a lot less. No, no,
it doesn't matter. The entitlement was created when she was.
Is rich. There a possibility that she may get more than the wages she actually invested into the pension? Yes. Is there a possibility that she get much less than the wages she has? Yes. If she dies the following day,
that's possible in the first case as well. Even in the first instance, and you put away some of your money from the salary of the pension, they invest it.
Yes.
So you're going to get more or less depending on how the investments do than the actual money she earned when she was.
Yeah, but that's her money invested. But here we're saying that even if for sure her money's run out, she's still entitled to pension.
But that's more of a government subsidy for the community.
Therefore, the what?
America?
You can have this anywhere. Not different. There's all different forms you can create even here. Not different. So
well,
that's
you,
what's
you
so
can
true.
Convert it to a lifetime annuity.
Yeah. So if it's
my pension, you can't do that.
We'll talk after the share. We'll make a sugar over here. Now. If it's that type of pension, then it's clear that the money is not coming from her work, because she can get much more. Even if she's got no money left, and even if there's no investment on her money to cover that, she can get much more. So that type of pension is not in exchange of work. What do we look at it? We look at it as just buying, like an insurance type of policy. What's an insurance?
Let's say she works.
What's an insurance? Let me finish my words first. Insurance is, I give you your money, and it's a gamble. Yeah? You get, either you're going to pay me more, or you're going to end up paying me less. But it's not, you're not giving back my money. I've got your money, and I'm as hired now to give you a certain amount of money every month, and I may gain and I may get lost. It's not giving back the money, it's giving you as a new, you bought something, I'm giving you certain rights to get back, to get certain money.
Oh, so then the wife belongs to the husband then, because it's something produced by the wages that she earned.
Nah. So, if it's that type of pension, it's not due to the husband. Why? Because even although the money which was used to create the pension deal was the husband's, but the contract which was created was, I, the pension fund, machive myself to you, Mrs. Leah, and nobody else. No one has rights, I'm giving it straight to you, and only you have those rights. And it's not something which is shy to anybody else. So it's like what the husband basically done. He's bought something, he said, given money to the company and said, please give the present to my wife. Don't give it to me, give it to my wife. If so, when somebody gives a present to the wife, with no one else having rights over it, the halakha, it belongs to the wife, not to the husband.
Salary too?
Hmm?
Salary only goes to her as well.
Salary is something which we said is that it's she has the right of claim, but he has rights on it because he has rights to her work. Her work created this in exchange of wages, so she's entitled to the wages. But here, her work didn't create this pension. Her work created money, and the money, the husband said, give it to the pension.
So let me ask.
And the pension is saying, we are giving the wife a present.
If a husband buys a health insurance policy on his wife and she gets sick, so the money that the pension, the insurance company pays his wife, does not belong to the husband?
If it's only in the wife's name, yes.
Yeah, well, only in the wife's name.
And similar, also, after all the Holocaust survivors, all the money which the German government gave over only goes to the wife for the same reason.
Going well. Back to his question, what if they're still married? If they're still married and she starts collecting her pension payments, does he have rights to that too?
No. He has rights as Nissim. Look, that's all. Means the money belongs to her, but he can get any benefit from the payers which that money may create. The interest belongs to him.
Now, there's one factor here that you're not taking into account. Most pensions include both the husband and the wife as a survivor beneficiary. Oh,
so we'll discuss that in Keshem. We'll talk about survivorship, beneficiaries in Keshem. Okay. Not with Eric. Okay, so we said pension, husband,
them.
Not so clear. It's the husband. Depends what pension fund is. What pension deal is, it belongs to the husband. And even if it does, it's not much money with you. After working out the much cheaper 46. Let's talk about Fitzwim, the compensation package. Compensation package is wages, or is it not wages? Is it wages or not wages, the compensation package? If it's wages, it doesn't. If it's not, it doesn't. So is it wages?
She gets a car, and she has a lower salary because they're giving her benefit of a car.
No, I mean, Pitsuin, where severance pay. Severance pay, is that wages or not? Was that created by her work or not created by her work?
I'm already looking. Severance pay?
If someone gets fired?
Severance pay means, the law in this country, let's say you work for somebody for 10 years, and every month you get 5,000 shekels, yes? So the law in this country is when you leave the job, you work 10 years, so you get a compensation package, severance pay, which means 10 years, 10 times 5,000 shekels. Every year that you work 5,000 shekels a month, so every year worked, you times it by the amount of years you work, so 10 times 5, so it ends up being you get 50,000, yeah? And sometimes your wages change as you go along, so then we have to work out exactly how much compensation in such a case.
The severance pay, which is part of your wages for some people, has been until a few years ago, for many people, was not part of their wages.
What do you mean? You're just saying wages, not wages. What do you mean?
It means that some people have an agreement, they take out 8 to 30% of their wages and they put it aside.
Oh, okay. You're saying how it's collated. I'm talking about how the money is put aside. I'm talking about the actual obligation for the employer to pay. And what is that? I have to give you compensation for all the years you worked by me. Is that, in its facts, does that mean that it's wages that created it? Was it, so to speak, my work, not wages created, my work, did my work create the chiyuv of severance pay or not?
So, the way it was explained
to me... The law has changed. Nowadays, the majority of severance pay is the work
pay. I'm not talking about what money was used to pay. I'm talking about the obligation which is on the employer, which has always been for the last 40 years. Is it because of work that she did? If it's part of the work she did, the work belongs to her husband, therefore, does it go to the husband?
So the way it was explained to me, I don't know how accurate it is, but a couple of people
are saying,
is that you're only entitled to pitsuyim if you're fired. If you quit, it's customary to get it, but there's not a few of them.
No, anymore. The only time...
What?
No, we have these cases in Mason every few weeks. The only time you don't get severance pay is if you were negligent or a gunner and therefore they had to fire you because of your...
You don't get it, or are they not McQueen to get it?
They're not McQueen. Yeah. But any change of terms which made you leave, or change your situation, personal situation, which made you leave, then you're entitled to that severance package.
If you resign, you're entitled to it.
If you have reasons, family reasons, or different terms of employment were proposed to you, which said, I'm not willing to take these terms, and then you can.
Whether they fire you, or whether
it's... So let's look at the first Maamok in the Mishnah of the Melech. It's like this. There's something called Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? Hanukkah is that when you have a Jewish slave, Eved Ivri, or Shifra, or Ima Avriya, a Jewish maidservant, then the Hanukkah is that she goes free when either she becomes of age, or Shmita comes. Yovel, either those things. So now, there's halacha that when she goes free, that Otom has to give her presents, called Hanukkah, for the years that she worked for him. Sounds very much like severance pay. She's worked for him for many years, you have to get this package at the end, Hanukkah. So, who does it go to if she leaves because she's become a gedolah, she's come of age, she's already come 12, she already goes free? Who keeps that severance pay? Does it go to her, because now she's a gedolah, or does it go to her father, where he had all the monetary rights of her until she was a gedolah? Who does it go to? That's the package. So the Mishnah Melech discusses, it says like this.
Oh, wait a minute, the minute he sells her, he gives up all the monetary rights.
No, doesn't, if she's still a gedolah.
She can't sell him again. He can't sell her again.
No, but he still gets all her rights until she's a gedolah.
Oh, really?
Yes. Says Tabitha Nokatabilavia near. Normally we say that severance pay goes to the father. To Peshitta David Midaraisa. Why? Because it's Midaraisa. It's a concept Midaraisa. Why does it go to the father? Because it's like Maisia Deha. It's like she's doing work. All work which a child under age does goes to the father. So this severance pay also. Shai Onikseh who Chalafa Midaraisa. Because it's this presents are in exchange for the work. The severance pay is because of her work. The work, it goes to the husband. To the father. Yesh this topic, but I got Sofik. Heifer to Nafka b'simon b'geres. When she goes out, no longer a slave, because she is now of age, she goes free, at 12. So after she goes to Zuckerberg Anak, and now she gets this severance pay, who does it go to? On the one hand, she's a gedolah, and therefore the father has no more rights over her. On the other hand, what created that package? Her work, and her work was done when she was a katana. So maybe it goes to the father. It gave Shita Deno Veyakum, Shabbosa Shahi Begeris. Now, do we say she's already of age and therefore doesn't go to the father? Because in Bosses Malavodil, do we go after the time when she was working and then she was a katana? Should the unexerchal of this, of course, the whole present was in exchange for her work. Imkem Shanashwa by the Zokka Banak, Imkem Shitzel Abin Avir. If it's in exchange for the work was done when she was a katana, it should go to the father. Shabazon Abed, or is a katana? So he says that in conclusion, what's the halacha? Medivre Harab Atzmas Yosef Nira. Disrele to Yotzeb, but against Anak the Atzma. That when we don't look at the time when she did the work, we look at the time when she's actually physically receiving the package. If the package she's receiving is at the time when she's no longer under the jurisdiction of the father, then it goes to her, not the father.
So if the Adam buys the shifcha and she's a katana but doesn't pay till she's a gedolah, it would go to her also?
No, that's just work. Anaka is only chayev at the when she goes free.
Oh.
Okay. So we see from him that even although you got a severance package which is created by work, but the work is not what gives her the rights to the severance package. It gives her certain rights, but it's not what we say that whoever owns the work gets that severance package, because if so, then it should go to the father in such a case. We say the severance package is not connected necessary to the work in such a case. Because if so, we see it doesn't go to the father, it goes to her. If it's connected to the work, it should go to the father. So who are din, said the poskim, with pitzurim. Pitzurim, even although the work that she did was the reason why she's entitled by law to get this severance package, but it's not what created the severance package. It's not what we're saying, it's not an extension of her work. It's not extension of her work, the Pitzurim. So therefore, it's not, therefore, come under the concept, wages go to the husband. It's not part of wages. And therefore, the husband's not entitled to the Pitzurim either, in such a case. So, we've knocked out the two first claims, pensions, and the severance package. The husband wants to use that as payment for her upkeep. He can't. So now we're left with the last claim. And this is where we're going to spend most of the time tonight. She, what did she do? She stole $5,000 using the husband's credit cards for things which she didn't give permission for. Now the husband is saying that she wants support before we get divorced in this separation stage. Yes, she's entitled to support, but she owes me $5,000. Because it's cut down. I owe her money, she owes me $5,000. Well, that should cut it down until the divorce actually proceeds. Yeah. Okay. Seems a very open and shut claim. Yeah. I owe you, Mizonas, support. You owe me $5,000 for stealing. Therefore, Mikazes.
It depends on spending habits. Meaning, if she spent $5,000 every month and he never objected to it, he can also now.
No, no. These are things that she purposely went ahead and saw the end in sight, and she took advantage of the card. Yes. She's Muskin! She's Muskin in Dayston! Yes! She took advantage of the situation that she had the credit card in her hands.
It's a Swiss bank account, sir.
So let me. You're saying it's a simple case, yes?
You're saying that.
Are you saying simple? Tell me it's not simple. Tell me why it's not simple, this. No! Think!
I'll tell you, well, first of all, I'm not so sure it's a case of Geza. It may be Mazik, but I don't think it's Geza.
Oh, that's a starting point. Okay.
Now, in terms of Mazik, she has to have her own money to be able to pay for the Geza. Unless she can go to the pension,
though. Matis is claiming that. Matis is claiming that. What do you mean it's Geza? It's not Geza. It's Mazik. Damages. It's not stealing, it's damages. Firstly, what does Matis mean? Yeah. And secondly, who cares? At the end of the day, you still owe me money. Yeah. Okay. Anyone can take it further?
Well, I can say what Marcus means if you want.
No. Anybody else can take it further?
Where should it be given for the case of the woman who used the phone for those thousands of shekels?
That's cause who she used the phone of her employer. Here we're talking about where she's damaging the husband himself. Yes. So therefore, I'm not going to pay you. Yeah.
Just like they say.
You're saying it's a simple case. You're saying, yes, you owe me money. I owe you money. Let's go because this. That's what we said in that case. Yes. So you're saying the same. You're saying simple. Yes. That's what you're saying. Okay. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch, number 2. Nun hey like this. Shlish. What's the case? Reuven lends money to Shimon and he writes a document of indebtedness saying Reuven is owed money by Shimon in this document, $2,000. Okay? $2,000. Right. Shimon comes a month later and pays $1,000. So how much does Shimon now owe? No? Simple maths? $1,000. But it's written in the document, $2,000. I don't want you to keep that document, Reuven, because you may claim the whole $2,000 when I only owe $1,000. Reuven says, I don't want to give the document to you, Shimon, because you still owe me $1,000. And if I give it back, I've got no proof that you owe me money. So what should we do? What?
Make a new document.
No, I want to save money. I don't want to go to a lawyer and ask him to draw up a new document.
Write a receipt.
Receipt? I don't want to have a receipt in my pocket and worry about losing it. So what should we do? What's the safest option in such a case?
Give it to a third party.
Give it to a trusted third party. So give it to a third party. Tell the third party like this.
Bring another one into it. That's the safest option.
Third party. We tell the third party, Levy, give you the document, Mr. Levy. Levy, if he pays me the other $1,000, then return it to Shimon. If he doesn't, then don't keep it by you until he pays. Fine. Then we're all happy now. Problem is, Levi did something very tricky. He gave back that document back to Reuven. He didn't keep it by him. He gave it back to Reuven for him to use the malva, the lender. So really, the lender now has got a document which says 2,000 when really he's only 1,000. So what do we say? Shloyalasi, shouldn't give him back. Meshamtina meshish. We put him in Cheirim, that lady. We put him in Cheirim. After a couple of co-onsers, until he accepts and based it, that he's going to accept upon himself any damages that that action may cause to the one who borrowed the money. Yeah? So, is that similar to Achis? What did actually Levi do over here? Levi created a debt that doesn't exist. Shimon only owes Reuven 1,000, and by giving that document back, he has made a debt. Instead of being 1,000, he's created it as 2,000.
Only if the person enforces the book. Yes,
and he has a potential 2,000 debt over there. Yeah, he's given that ability. Yeah? What, by using a credit card which doesn't belong to you, does it do?
Creates a debt.
Creates a debt to the owner of the credit card.
To a third party,
which he doesn't really have to pay because he never really used it, the owner. He created a debt which doesn't really exist by using somebody else's credit card.
Right, so hope he passed the charges and the car company will go after her.
No. To say there's no proof that it's illegal. She's married to you and everything. There's no proof at all.
And her name's on the card too.
So very good. Yeah, so therefore, what she's done, she has, by using the credit card, she has created a debt to the husband, Reuven, which doesn't really exist. And what's the halacha? We can put her in cheirim until she accepts on herself all the responsibilities of that damages of doing that action. She has to accept that upon herself.
She can accept Chayim and get the money if she wants.
She'll be in Chayim until she accepts upon herself the liability. So what does it mean? It says the Nesivos. Carry on. What does it mean? Says the Nesivos, why is it Chayim? Why don't we force him to pay for the damages? We can't force him to pay. Because it's called indirect damage. We've got no ability to force someone to pay indirect damage. And therefore, since it's indirect damage, we can make the person accept himself upon himself the obligation to pay that if it hasn't yet come, the damage. But if it's already happened, the damage, potter, we can't even put him in chayim. You're chayv b'dei shemayim, but we can't force you to pay in such a case. So what's the Nesivos telling us? You created. Down here it gets away with it. Up there you don't get away with it. Even down here you won't get away with it. You'll see. It's in the big picture. Remember, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, you don't get away with it. Now, what are we saying over here? When you create a debt to somebody which doesn't really exist, then that's called, you are damaging indirectly. You don't have to pay b'dei odom yochai b'dei shemayim, but we can't force you to pay. So what's the wife going to say over here? Yeah, I used the credit card. I didn't steal. I created a debt. Indirect damages. Indirect damages, not chai to pay. B'dei odom only b'dei shemayim. I want my support money. You can't cut off. That's what she's paying. Now,
so why isn't the telephone bill then direct damage? You're making a deal to Bezek from the telephone company.
Okay. You asked a question on the psak of last week, but you haven't asked a question in Halach. You say, how can it be? Let's look at the next Shulchan Aruch and you explain how is this next Shulchan Aruch fits in with the halacha, which just left. Look at number three. Starts a kosev shiyochlu letaveh b'dinah ha'obet kochavim ein v'shay letaveh b'fneihem. You have a contract, very important. You have a contract, and most contracts are written like this by the lawyers, and it's halachically wrong. Contract which has a clause in it says, if anything goes wrong, we go to the base mishpat, the secular court. Not allowed to have that in your contract. If you do have it, you're not allowed to go to the secular court. In If you sell that document to a goy, and that goy will take him to the goyish court, then halach is chayv de shalom kol mashiyis and yosef mashu chayv de nishal. If those goyish courts make the person pay more than he's obligated to pay, then the one who sold that document has to pay for that damages. Let's put it into everyday case. Reuven is owed bound by Shimon. $10,000. Yeah. In it is this clause which is illegally, halakhically not right. You can go to the secular court. Okay, they're not going to go to secular courts. What does Reuven do? He sells that debt to the Bank of America. Bank of America now own the debt. What Bank of America going to do? They're going to go to the secular courts to get money out from Shimon. And when they go, they're going to ask for lawyer's fees. They're going to ask for interest. All things which halakhically he's not mechuyev to pay. Send and say, instead of now paying $10,000, he's paying $15,000. Yeah? He's now being caused a $5,000 extra payment. Who caused that? Who caused that ability to take $5,000 out of him? Who did it? Reuven! Says the halakha, Reuven's chayev to pay that $5,000. Huh? How can that be? Why is Reuven chayev to pay in such a case? All he did was creating a higher debt. It's a groma, even less than groma in such a case. It's not actually written in the document. It's just a potential to get more. And the halacha is you chayev to pay. Why? The previous halacha says, if you give over a document that says more than it's really obligated, that's called groma, you don't have to pay. Here we're saying you give a document, it doesn't say more, but it's going to cause more. There you do have to pay.
This is Geneva, and that was Nezik. This is Geneva, and that was Mazik.
That's also Geneva. These also, he's at the end of the day taking $2,000 out of him in the first case, and he's only entitled to $1,000. You're
grubber.
Causing somebody to do Geneva.
And that was more grubber because it wasn't for sure that it would happen. Meaning, the other person.
And this
would
is for sure happening. Give it over to the Bank of America. And they are going to the secular courts, and now they're getting $15,000. More sure than this. It's not even written in the document, $15,000. The other one was two. And you really only one, and still that you're not safe. What's the difference?
That was a loan, the other was a loan.
This is also a loan. Every answer you give, I can give an answer.
This money might not cost you more. The Bank of America might have done so they pay that money.
Exactly, and still he has to pay. Even if it might not cause him, and he still has to pay the extra bits. And over there, yeah, you're giving him something which is foolproof to cause Geneva, and there he doesn't have to pay. What's happened? What's the difference? We'll see whether you're on the ball by giving a difference. No? What's the difference? What's the difference? Both cases are good. No. Oh, disappointing tonight.
The only thing in this case, in the first case,
yes,
he gave it back to him.
Yes.
Gave it back to him.
Yes, and he doesn't have to pay.
In this case, you said he sold it.
Yes, no.
So he made money on it.
Ah! Eric's on the ball tonight. Yes, very good. Let's look at the Shah Mishpat. Amazing. That was a hard question. It was amazing you got that. It's a very impressive. Very good. Good sign. Rosh Hashanah did you good. Number four, the Sar Mishpat says like this. Im achotzasu lischor afapishe in derech ze lischor sach lahanes lischor shai chosem bobin miu im loito esu gozum in a potu shanskin. Says the Sar Mishpat, if you go and lock somebody out of his house and now you're causing him loss, financial loss, it's only groma, you don't have to pay. Locked out in the house, he can't rent it out, he has to go elsewhere to live. You're causing financial loss indirectly, you don't have to pay. But if you go into the house and live in it, and stop him living in it by you living in it, then you do have to pay. Why? Why do you have to pay? It's because there's yisod. If you are going somebody damage, it's groma, fine, you're potter. But if at if you're benefiting from the fact that you are causing him indirect damage, then it's called not damage, that's called gezel. You've converted something from being a damage into being gezel in such a case. Why is it gezel? Because the benefit you're taking is causing him to lose money. So we look at it, the money you're taking is that money which you've caused him to lose. That's called gezel. You've taken money out. So anytime you're benefiting from by causing him indirect damage, you're benefiting from that in cause direct damage, that's cause means you're actually taking money from his pocket and therefore you're chayv to give it back. So therefore the difference in the case is like this. Levi was asked as a favor to look after his documents. Did he get any benefit by giving it back? No benefit to give it back. He just gave it back to Reuven. No monetary benefits. No monetary benefits. That's called indirect damage, and therefore we can't charge it. But in the case where I sell my document to the Bank of America, and by causing you now indirect damage, and I'm gaining from the fact I'm causing you indirect damage, because I gain money for it, therefore that's called now you have stolen that $5,000 extra. You have to pay for it in such a case. So now let's look at the wife. She took the credit cards. She created a debt. By creating that debt, she benefits.
Yes.
So even although creating the debt in itself is only groma, by here, the groma made her able to benefit. She could only benefit by causing him this groma. Therefore, she has to pay.
The benefit she's getting is not in the creation of the debt.
The only way she could get that benefit was by creating that debt.
In this case, he's absolutely in the creation of the debt.
It's a byproduct of it.
It's even more than the case of the selling of it. She only could go on holiday by creating the debt. She could only go on a cruise to Norway in order to actually go on the cruise to Norway because she spent the $5,000 going on the cruise to Norway, creating a debt for her future ex-husband. That's called gezel. I cause you damage. I benefit by the only way I could benefit on the cruise is by making a damage to you. That's gezel. So,
being spiteful. The benefit was a byproduct, which was being spiteful, and the main intention was for the husband to lose out on money.
We don't look at the.
That's also a benefit.
That's not a financial benefit.
Here, she got a financial benefit. Don't worry, she got financial benefits.
What are these spiteful for you?
So, at the way we're halting now, is she's five to pay the $5,000. Therefore, he can simply say, yeah, I owe you support, but you owe me $5,000. Therefore, the cousins. Yeah. Okay.
What is she using the $5,000 on?
That's a basin also Haskin the Sim of the Shaila, where you'll laugh at the Shaila that was asked. A bocha came with the Rosh Hashiva to a basin, and the Shaila was is the bocha asked his friends in America to make collect calls to the yeshiva. Yeah, in order to do one of the shmooze with his friends in America. So they phoned, the bocha in the yeshiva here picked up the phone, and it's the operator said, you set the charge? I set the charge. So, and he built up a huge charge for the yeshiva. The basic task is you have to pay, because even though you're creating a debt, but you're benefiting by creating that debt, so you have to pay. So, okay, same case.
What about if she is the £5,000?
You learn a lot in yeshiva.
It's a type of yeshiva that it was a type of yeshiva that if you do this, you qualify to get into this yeshiva, and that's why they went to base them, because okay, you did get shut down, so you just got a promotion, maybe extra year in yeshiva.
Creative thinking.
Yeah. Yes, you're sorry.
If this $5,000 that he spent on his credit card, let's say instead of using that to buy, go on holiday, he decided to donate that to stuff.
Okay.
So that she's not getting a financial benefit, she doesn't have to pay it back.
But that's called not getting financial benefit. Correct. She just gives it to her brother to use, and she gets no use. Yeah, correct. That's only one.
Well, tzedakah she gets, right? You get money back when you give it to tzedakah.
Yeah. We discussed the stock with that. You can actually claim it back in such a way. Okay, now, I haven't finished tonight because it's the last shift, so I'm carrying on. And it's like this. We haven't finished the case. Rabbi Eliashiv was asked and based in a case like this, which is connected to this. A woman took her husband to a basin. You need to give me support. You need to support me. You need to pay for my support to the upkeep of the children. Husband said, I don't need to support you. Why? Because you threw acid on my face. And I have huge medical bills. You owe me damages. I didn't need to support you. That was the shy that was asked in Beis Din of the Rabbanut when Rabbi Yashiv was sitting on it.
Yeah? She threw acid on his face.
Yes, she threw acid on his face. Okay. So this is what Rabbi Yashiv answered. Yeah? He says, if you look at number 5, there's a Me'iri. A Me'iri says like this. A Isha Shechovla Babala, a woman who damages her husband. She gets a ksuba, but she only gets the bare minimum. They're still married, so how's she going to pay? You can't force her to let off the debts of the ksuba. Because a woman can't stay married if she's got no ksuba. So the whole time they're married, the husband can't get released the debt of the ksuba. So therefore, how's she going to pay? Alma, says Rabbi Eliashiv, the kol she'ena megasha, if you don't divorce your wife, v'teres neshasimah, v'chayv b'mezaseha, you're chayv to support her, k'din kol anoshim. We see from here, the fact the only option was available was to let the husband off the ksuba. That's the only way she could pay him. And we say, Mary says, well, that also doesn't work because you can't be married without a ksuba. So what the rabbi, she said, why didn't you give another option? The woman owes her money. Just say to the husband, for 5 months, where you don't give me the zonus. Don't support me for 5 months. Why doesn't a woman say that to her husband? We see from here, says Rabbi Eliashiv, that even when the woman owes money to the husband because she damaged her, you can't stop paying the support.
You hear the husband was mokal.
What?
You hear the husband was mokal. He chose to stay married.
Did mokal.
He could have gotten
mokal. No, I want to stay married, but you owe me money. Ksuba? Can't get ksuba. Was even entered the thought, maybe not paying mezunos, don't pay upkeep. That was even suggested. Why? Because you have to pay support. You cannot take that off. Even if the woman owes you money, you cannot take that off. You always have to pay support. Says Rabbi Eliashiv, I don't understand the next halacha. Im abal nosen sefer beis Yaakov, also the nesivus. But Im abal nosen the ishta mezunos v'nikva memenu ein chayv lo seis mezunos acherim. If the husband says, here, I'm giving you support for the month, here's, yeah, and then it gets stolen from her, does he have to give her more money? No, don't have to give her more money. Why? Because you already gave her money. Says Rabbi Yashar, I don't understand. If you're telling me she needs to have food in her mouth, which is implied by the first halacha, even if she owes money, you have to give her food in her mouth and give her clothes, and that's the halacha, then why, if you give her money which enables her to get the food but she doesn't actually get the food because it gets stolen, why suddenly there don't you have to give her again? Because at the end of the day she hasn't got food in her mouth. If there's a lot, you need food in her mouth. She hasn't got food in her mouth. Why don't you have to give it again if it was stolen from her? Says Rav Yashin, this is a chilek like this. Halacha l'maaseh. If you give her money to buy clothes, to get food, then you've already been yotzei yochid. She decides not to use it for food and for money, or it gets stolen. It's not your problem. You gave money for the food. But if she damages you, you haven't given her money for the fact that she damaged you and she owes you money. It doesn't mean that you gave her money for the food. You never gave her money for food. She just was created a debt by you. There, you have to support her. You never gave anything to her. You have to give her food. You never gave her food. She owes you money. It doesn't matter. You have to physically be able to give her the opportunity to get food. You never did that. So even if she damages you, owes you money, you still have to give her food. So therefore, coming back to our case. Yes, she owes him $5,000. She stole. She owes him $5,000. But he has to support her. She's still married, technically. There's a law that says you have to support her because they're married. Therefore, even though she owes you money, you can't cut off the support money with the fact of a debt. Support money always has to be given. When she's going to pay, when you eventually get divorced, and then she's owed a consumer, from the consumer, at that stage you can deduct the $5,000. But from the support, you cannot deduct the $10,000.
Can you give her money and steal it back?
So in conclusion, pensions are not entitled to the husband. It's not wages, it's a present. Pitsuim are not entitled to the husband, even though it's created by work. But at the end of the day, we see that it's just, at the end of the day, it's chayvus, obligation for the worker, nothing to do with the work. Therefore, it's also not entitled to the husband. Damages? Yes. He's entitled to damages, even if the debt is cured. If the debt is cured, and she benefits at the time, she's entitled to the damages. But he has to still give her support, because it's halacha in support. You have to give them the food in the mouth. And if you don't give the food in the mouth, or the potential to give food in the mouth, even if she owes you money, you can't duck it off. You can only duck that off in the ksuba when you eventually get divorced. And therefore, the halacha in Basin was, he had to support her in such a case. Have a gemar chasima tova. Next shir is in Cheshvan. Okay? And now we'll be starting a very interesting halachic series, all to do with wills, and all the machlokas behind it, and all the interesting details of it, and the necessities.
The world is a
machlokas. Good.